Look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. Exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Yeah, hey, you know, I was just going to say, I'm on top of my game today, and I can't even hit a switch there. You can't see a switch, but it's even got a light that says, hey, hit me, you know, turn me on here. Anyway.
I want everybody to know I do not control that button.
That voice you heard was Eric the Tech. He speaks. Welcome back to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report on this open phone Wild Wednesday edition, except it's Thursday. That's right. We had to move our Wild Wednesday to Wild Thursday for open phone lines.
For just this week.
Yeah, yeah. So your calls, we're taking your calls as they come in. Deference to new callers, of course. We have an unlisted number, but should you decide to call, should you want to call, that number is 844-769-2944. Can't read my own writing there. Folks, Mother's Day is getting close, please. Mom has always been an expert for you. She's been there for you. She's done things for you, made sacrifices for you. She's given you relationship advice. She's fixed your cuts and bruises. She's always been there, I'm sure. Always been there for you. And if you have lost your mom, like I have, your wife, you're the mother of your children. Oh. Talk about such an important job, and sometimes a thankless job. So how do you thank someone like that? With flowers from Pro Flowers. Get Mom 100 blooms with a free glass vase for $19.99. $19.99. You can't beat that. Guys, this takes all of the thinking out. Well, I shouldn't say all of the thinking. It takes all of the work away from you. They do all of the work for you. They plant the seeds. They water the flowers. They grow the flowers. They go out and cut the flowers. They wrap them up. And they ship them to you. I'm making light of that, of course. But the product that you receive, the look on your wife's face or your mother's face, oh, you just can't, you can't even buy that. What a great offer. 100 blooms. I mean, really, really, really make her night, make her day, make her weekend. Get Mom 100 blooms with a free glass vase for $19.99 plus shipping and handling. Or make her day extra special. Upgrade to a premium vase and add gourmet chocolates. And these chocolates are delicious. Just ask my wife. She loves them. Just $9.99 more. Go to proflowers.com today. Use our code Hagman in the upper right microphone box. That's Hagman, H-A-G-M-A-N-N. They take all of the guesswork out of sending mom, grandma, wife the perfect Mother's Day gift. Yeah, I didn't talk about grandmas. Grandmas are extra special. They got more to deal with. So mom and grandma and the missus, Now, guys, I want to see this. You got to do this, okay? And check in with me. I use Pro Flowers. I use them. I've used them. I used them last week. You cannot go wrong. You can't beat the price. You can't beat the convenience. They take care of all the details. Pro Flowers are guaranteed to be fresh and beautiful for at least 7 days or your money back. You choose a delivery date that you want. It's guaranteed. It's really a no-brainer, folks. I just thank. And in fact, I sent a thank you note to one of the individuals at Pro Flowers before the great job they did. They went an extra mile when I screwed up my order. It's really foolproof, but what I did was I forgot to add something, and I went back and I sent a note, and boy, they took care of it right away. Call. Here's the only way to get the 100 blooms with a free glass vase starting at $19.99. Here's the only way to do it. You got to call 800-PRO-FLOWERS, or even better, visit proflowers.com. Click on the blue microphone in the top right-hand corner. Type in Hagman. That's proflowers.com. Click on the microphone and type in Hagman, or call 800-PRO-FLOWERS. But doing it via the internet, so much easier. Remember, Mother's Day is next week. Order today, because this offer expires Friday at midnight for the 100 blooms. Folks, take advantage of this. Really.
Definitely.
Yeah, take advantage of this. Now, before we get to the phones, before I turn it over to you, Joe, I just want to, this week we had a show where the discussion was about self-defense. All right. I'm just going to say this really, really quickly. I believe, and I can cite biblical scripture and verse. I don't want to get into the biblical aspect of self-defense right now, but I certainly believe as Christians we have not only the right to defend ourselves, but the duty to defend ourselves and others, including it, but not limited to our family. If I see, and let me just state very clearly, if I have an unfriendly coming through my door, an unfriendly is going to have a serious case of lead poisoning. All right. And I, as a Christian man, do not feel any remorse, regret. Well, I certainly feel bad about it. I would not want that to happen. But I do believe scripturally and morally, I am within my moral and scriptural rights to do so, to neutralize the threat in any way, shape, or form possible. I say this only because I don't agree with the wussification. And that's a nice word. Steve, I talked to Steve the other day. I think we agreed on that word for reasons which obviously you can think of. And because him and I, we talk about this. He called me up the other morning. And again, you understand. I'm in my office. This is like Tuesday morning. It's 6:30 in the morning. The phone rings in my office. I don't even know how. He might have cameras in here. I don't know. It's 4:30 where he's at. I pick up the phone. Hey, what are you doing? I'm like, Steve, it's like 4:30 in the morning. What are you doing? Oh, did you see this? Or did you see this headline? Yeah. He said, look, I got to tell you something. You know, and so we'll talk. And what a fabulous man he is. I just love the guy to death. It's funny because he does not like the wussified Christians at all. But here, how do you like this, folks? The Huffington Post. What a sewer pit. I mean, to me, this is a sewage pit. The Huffington Post. Arianna Huffington, no longer part of the Huffington Post, obviously, but anyway. So some bozo says that... Now listen to this. Listen. Shooting in self-defense is illegal because it denies violent criminals a fair trial. Now think about that for a second. Okay. You got a guy, anyone coming after me or my family with a sword or a handgun or a knife or an AK-47. It don't matter. I don't care. And poses a threat to my family. No, you're not going to shoot the wound. I'm not that good. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're good or not. The fact is, you neutralize. You shoot center mass so no one else gets hurt. You take the threat out. And you know what, folks? I'm telling you this. If you, and this is my belief, if you're of the age, we'll say under 30 right now, you will more than likely be faced with a violent situation in your lifetime. The way that the trajectory of our country is going in the world. But can you believe this junk? Shooting in self-defense is illegal because it denies criminals a fair trial. The Huffington Post is arguing that Americans have no legal right to shoot a violent attacker because it violates a criminal's right to a fair trial.
Well, this is a circular argument. I mean, that goes nowhere because their violent actions is denying me a right to life, denying me a right to non-injury, denying me just basic safety. So a person who is violent,
I'm twitching here, man,
trying to commit an act of violence against somebody, whether it is premeditated or otherwise, is the first person to violate another's rights. So we should put their, even though they're violating another person's rights,
right,
we shouldn't violate their rights.
Well, no, because right. I mean, yeah. you talk about some of the most
double talk circle arguments.
Okay, yeah. So I'm looking at this. I'm looking at this. Let me go back here because this idiot Justin Kermie, he's got a degree in philosophy. According to his bio, he's a blogger that seeks to engage people in thought and conversation through presenting new views to matters new or old. That just goes to show you, anyone with a degree in philosophy needs, I shouldn't make sweeping statements about that, but, he says this, the Second Amendment is highly contested. Okay, excuse me? I didn't know that. Is it really highly contested, the Second Amendment? It's a right to bear arms. What's so contestable about the Second Amendment? He writes, there's no doubt that people do have the right to carry and have a stockpile of guns, the right of people to keep and bear arms, he parenthetically states here. And the state has the right to organize a well-regulated militia, but the main issue is the right to self-defend with a firearm. And I just can't even go on with this because this is so obviously psychotic
you pull that trigger, consider the rights of
you talk about idiotic. The author thinks that we can't use guns in self-defense because, and I quote, therefore, if we ponder and meditate on recent events and news about guns, it would be obvious that the current state is incorrect. The gun for civilians is a weapon for a revolution. That's true. That's true. And not for ordinary use. The belief that a gun is a useful tool to protect one is counterintuitive because guns get in the hands of people who use them for horrible reasons. Okay. Really? Stick to philosophy, your philosophy about the other things, Kermie. I mean, you talk about a piece of garbage, but people are buying into this. See, that's the problem right now. People are buying into this. Well, we shouldn't, and somebody had sent me a really great article. It was written, and thank you whoever sent this, it was written, here it is right here. I got this the other day and I want to make sure I mention this. Raging Against Self-Defense, a psychiatrist examines the anti-gun mentality. It's written by Sarah Thompson, MD, and it's The article is at the website of Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership, which is jpfo.org, and the article is Raging Against Self-Defense, a Psychiatrist Examines the Anti-Gun Mentality, written by Sarah Thompson. I would give it a read because it goes into this twisted mentality of being a victim, of always having to be the victim. defense mechanisms, such as denial. Denial is simply refusing to accept the reality of a given situation, which is a defense mechanism commonly utilized by supporters of gun control. And it goes on and on. But this is a perfect example. And I want to thank the emailer who sent this link to me. People who identify themselves as victims harbor excessive amounts of rage at other people whom they perceive as not victims. And so the gun owners are frequently the targets of professional victims because gun owners are willing and able to prevent their own victimization. You see what we're saying here? Really, anti-Second Amendment is a mental disorder. Anti-self-defense is a mental disorder. There's nothing Christian about it. There's nothing religious about it. There's nothing spiritual about it. I don't know this to be the case, but I don't think God is going to give you a gold star for taking a bullet and not doing anything while your wife is being raped, mutilated, your daughter is being raped, and you're just standing around with your thumb up your butt. I don't know. Maybe, you know, maybe I'm the one that's mentally ill. I don't think so. But I don't have a victim mentality. I'm not in denial. I am not a professional victim, nor will I be, nor would I encourage any one of you to be as well. And if you want to make some sort of a religious argument or a biblical law argument about it, you know what? Talk to the hand. Does that... people still say that? Probably not, right? All right. Go ahead. I just want to... what a piece of trash this... to me, I'm a writer, okay? Or at least I think I'm a writer in my head. Sometimes when the voices stop. But, a lot of people are going to have fun with that comment. I consider myself a writer. And I write articles. I don't write trash, though. And I'm very, very... there's very few things I would ever call trash out there that somebody would write where I'd want my 15 minutes back of reading it or where I would regret ever reading it, because a lot of people have a lot of good things to say. And I read a lot. I love to read. But this? Garbage. So save me... by the way, say anyone on the other side of this argument, get your own show. Don't email me with don't email me saying, well, you're not very Christian-like. Get your own show. And for those people out there who will continue to take me to task for everything that I do and anything that I might do and say, get your own show. Preach it to whoever, you know, preach it to your three or four people that actually read your stuff. All right. I'm an angry man today.
Yeah. It's a purple stick. Let's go to the phones. We got Dave, Maria, Lars, Edward, Emily, and Richard. We're going to go to Dave in Florida first. Dave, welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hello, guys. Joe and Doug. Hey, how you doing?
Good. How's it going?
I think we're doing all right.
I know, Doug, I hear you. I hear you are perfectly 100% right. There is no way I'm going to give up my AK-47. Man, that thing is on target. I am, like, broke, but there's no way I'm going to give it up. There's no way. They can come. They're going to have to take it out of my cold, dead hands. Freak those people. All those people. Go and take them from the Islamic compounds all throughout this country. The day is going to...
saddle for battle, Dave. Saddle for battle.
Yeah, that guy, I hate to say it, I like that guy. I don't know if you're giving a reference to that guy that was on the show the other night, and when I heard him say, basically, that you should just, like, I can't find anywhere in the Bible that it says to kill, you know, and I think that's what you're referring maybe.
Yeah,
to.
I mean, look, there are, and with all due respect to our guest, and I don't want to talk about our guest, okay? Because I love his financial insight. I think he's a great guy, and I just happen to disagree with him on this.
I want to say I loved the thing that he said about peace, about getting away from the city and getting out, and you could feel the peace of God. You can get closer to our Lord God. I did like that. I thought that was
Amen.
Really great. So anyway, go ahead, Doug. I'm sorry for cutting you off.
No, I just number one, settle for battle. Number two, Dave, you know, we're all in this together, and I do believe that what we're going to be seeing right now is an increase in violence. We're going to see an increase in home invasions. We're going to see an increase in the animosity between families, friends, and so on. We are going to be threatened, and threatened immensely and exponentially. Yeah. You know, so we better be ready for this.
I've been calling this ever since I've been on Lori Roth years ago, back in 08 or whatever. I knew this was all going to go down. I knew this was all going to go down. But from a lighter point, I just want to say real quick, I can't give anything right now, Doug and Joe. I'm just making it down here. By the grace of God, this is why I know I have the Lord with me. He has sustained me. I brought stuff down from Long Island, New York, down here, and I just ran out of total money. And I had just enough coffee left and enough pasta and sauce and cheese and peanut butter and not jelly, but actually blueberry spread I use. And it just made it until I got my check on the first, which is basically the whole thing goes to rent down here. I'm in a really high place. I shouldn't be here, and I got to try to move. So, you know, I know I haven't done anything for you, but God, the Lord is my witness. I'm just like destitute.
No. Look. You got to take care
of
yourself.
And I couldn't even get my blood pressure medicine. I even had to put off with that, and they wouldn't even give it to me. But I'm trying to get off it anyway. So I'm just saying. I know. I just wanted to say that. I don't want to take up too much of your time here. I just wanted to say, for a lighter point, I'm going to make up my own sign, and when I go see those transgender bathrooms, I'm going to put a sign over it, and it's going to be it. It's going to be the It's bathroom. Remember on the Addams Family where you had the It? Remember It on the Addams Family?
Cousin It. Of course I do.
Cousin It. And I'm going to call it the It's. I think that's what they should call it, the It's bathroom. Okay.
Yeah.
And I think that Cruz should, if he doesn't win, I think he should get a job as a. They should do another Dracula movie and put him as the leading star in Dracula. And he can take all the people and say, "Come to me." Okay, that's a lighter side. Now, on the heavy side, I want to say that I went into church. Of course, I'm Catholic, and I go to the Catholic church. And I had a shirt printed up, and it said, on the front, it says, "Jesus is Lord." And on the back, it says, "Islam is of Satan." Well, I went in the first time. Nobody said anything to me. Two girls liked it. Then I just went in this past Sunday. And I went up to a guy, just, "Oh, can I just stay here? You know, I wanted to stay in church a while." And he goes, I know you have the First Amendment, but this your shirt really offends me." And I'm just like, I was in awe. And he said, "I know there's the First Amendment, but your shirt just offends me." And I just like looked in it or whatever, and I said, and I did an about face, and I walked away from him saying, "That's right, I have the First Amendment." And I couldn't believe that I offended him.
Okay, so wait a second. So on the back, okay, tell me what it said again, the shirt.
On the front. It says, "Jesus is Lord."
Okay.
On the back,
right.
"Islam is of Satan." Now, if you go into the saints, like St. Thomas Aquinas, he basically said the same thing, that any other religion but Christianity is a false religion. Basically, it's of Satan. That's how it is.
And
we should be converting them. You know, we should be really converting them to the true faith. So, you know, that
we should be missionaries. That's right. Now, I can see where somebody would say that that's offensive. I mean, I understand that. I'm not agreeing with that. I understand it. Okay, it's, you know,
yeah.
I okay. Now, but there's a bigger point to this discussion, Dave. I don't know where you got the shirt. Okay, I don't know where you got the shirt, but here's the bigger point that I want everyone, and I'm glad you brought this up, because folks, please understand this. The bigger point in this is more and more companies are refusing to print anything that is objectionable, not offensive but objectionable to the state. Okay, for example, Hillary for prison. Now, I understand that if you use a copyrighted symbol, you can't do that. I get that. But if you have just the block lettering Hillary for prison, not president, for example, there are companies out there that, who have refused my, and I'm not going to say the companies right now. There's a reason for that. Just trust me. But there are companies out there who will not print those sentiments. Where is this going to stop? That's my question. So what you just said there is very important, but for the reasons, not for the personal reasons, but for the larger reasons of objectionable content, what, you know, soon you're not going to be able to wear it, but you're not going to be able to get it printed anywhere.
On what?
You may not be able to get it printed anywhere. Yeah.
Hello, Doug.
Yep. Hello. Can you hear me?
Doug.
Yeah. Dave?
Dave, you there?
Dave.
Hello?
Yeah. All right, we're going to cut. Yeah, okay, there you go. So whatever you're doing, yeah. You have to stand on your head to hop twice or whatever. Okay. What I'm saying, though, just understand what I'm saying. Now, the bigger issue is not wearing the shirt, but getting the shirt printed because companies are refusing to actually print
material. Why do you say you can understand why it's offensive? I just wanted to know.
No,
wear it?
No. I understand. I mean, I can understand. I can actually picture someone saying, "Well, that offends me." I mean, it doesn't. I understand that. I understand somebody. Maybe that's the wrong word to say. I can see that happening. That's what I'm saying.
I had a lady there that said, "You're right. It is." You know, like that. I'm going to also say, I signed in a chapel. There's a chapel, and maybe you know what I mean. But anyway. And I put down Soldiers of the Cross. And I went into the chapel a couple of times. And Soldiers of the Cross, the organization. I don't know if there is, but that's what I felt like putting. And I seen that the next week, whoever it was, they crossed it out of the book. So I guess that's a horrible thing to say, too. Soldiers of the Cross was a horrible thing to say.
Soldiers of the Cross, I don't think that's too wrong. Go ahead.
The other thing I want to say is... The deacon did the homily at the church, and he said, everybody here today is one day going to be in heaven. He didn't talk about sin, didn't say anything about that. Just everybody
that's
is going
nice.
To be in heaven.
That's
I have
nice.
Not seen, ear has not heard. And I'm like sitting back just saying, everybody in the church is going to be in heaven? You know, like nothing about sin. Then the other day when I was getting my blood pressure checked in a store, A Southern Baptist, he must have made my blood pressure go up. I don't know how we started talking. And he came onto the same thing. He says, he goes to me, do you accept Jesus as your personal, you know, your Lord and Savior? I says, yes. He says, well, then you're going to heaven. I said, well, yeah, but you can't be in sin. You can't, like, be living together, you know, fornicating. And he was, like, not comfortable with that, my position on that. So then he changed it at the end, and he says, well, if you're accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you wouldn't be doing that. But there are people that do that.
Right.
They accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, yet they're living with another person out of not in marriage, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, yes, you would not be... predisposed to lie, to cheat, to steal, to murder, when I say murder, I'm talking about murder, not killing in self-defense or any of this. If you are truly saved and have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit within you, you would not be predisposed to that, those conditions, I believe. Joe, I don't know. I mean, isn't that true?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, but we all sin. I mean, we no one is perfect. But,
I know,
in fact,
but if you're living, there's people, though, that accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and they're living with another opposite sex, or two men are living together,
right?
And they accept Jesus, and are they going into heaven? I mean, we can't really judge, but I don't want to be in their shoes, you know what I mean? I'll stay in my shoes.
Right. Right.
But the last thing I want to say is, if you don't mind, I wrote up something right here, and this goes what you were saying before. I thank you very much if you let me say this.
Sure.
And I wrote this out. I wrote this out, so I think there's a lesson to be learned from Benghazi. I think we should really envision how all those Americans died from those satanic Islamic scum, especially the last two, who were retired Navy SEALs. Think that for 7 hours, these heroes were under fire in a compound, like backed into a corner and nowhere to go, only to ask our government for help. But the President of the United States of America and his Secretary of State of the United States of America gave a deaf ear to these Navy SEALs who served their country honorably. If they can do that to them, they can do that to all of the patriots. This event should be imprinted all the time, so if they come to disarm you, you won't be, because your fate will be similar to these two Navy SEALs.
Interesting. Go on.
They were dragged out of that compound with their bloody fingerprints on the walls. They must have run out of ammo. What they did to them outside was probably diabolical, horrendous. Don't give up your firearms, for this end will be yours. Death. Better to die on your feet than live on your knees for a short while. And you, Secret Service, know this fact, what he did to these men, but more the Navy SEALs who had family waiting for them. And I'm sorry, my heart goes more to the Navy SEALs. Just something about it. I'm sorry. It goes to all of them, but more so to the Navy SEALs. I'm sorry. And you protect this murderer in chief. This is to you, Secret Service. And you protect this murderer in chief. And all of you in Congress, all of you, you are a disgrace to the Republic, to the flag for which it stands. And all of you, one day will face the King of Judges, and you will have to give an account. God help you all. Under this president, and whatever, more Navy SEALs have been laid to rest than have died in actual combat. You hate the Navy SEALs because especially they are white Christians, Mr. President. You will, Obama, meet the King of Kings one day, for all man dies this life of mankind. I only wish I could be at your judgment, for I know even with all the prayers that were sent to you to repent, you don't. I know without a doubt you will be consumed in a lake of fire where you will wish you were dead, but you really are. If God would allow you to experience the pains of hell, you would change like night to day, but God won't do that. So run to your eternal reward, the fires and smoke and stink of hell, never ending. Thank you, Dr. Joe. Thank you.
All right, Dave. Well, that should suffice. It should serve as your anti-high blood pressure medication, getting that off your chest. We thank you for the call, my friend. All right, brother.
Thank you.
God bless. All right.
We're going to Maria.
Maria.
Next. Maria, you're live on the Hagman and Hagman.
Bring some sense.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Can you hear me okay?
We can. Maria Canese, author of Prepare for Persecution. And you can get that on Amazon, and Prepare for Persecution, other books by her as well. That's a great book because we need to prepare for persecution. I wanted to get that out there. I was reading that book just the other day, going through it again. Such great nuggets in there. Go ahead, Maria.
Thank you. Listen, my dad was raised a Quaker pacifist, although he fought for the war effort, but he didn't do it in a military way. He did it in a think tank with the OSS, so he still backed the war effort. And he has a good friend who's an retired Army general who's a godly man, and he sees him as being a very godly man and never saw that as not being Christian. So, you know, if someone wants to be a pacifist, that's okay, but don't put down other Christians who aren't. The Bible does not require Christians to be pacifists. When the Ten Commandments, when it says, "Thou shalt not kill," the word is murder. It's not self-defense or military or capital punishment. It's murder. When the Roman soldiers asked John the Baptist what they should do, he did not tell them to stop being soldiers. When Peter led the Roman centurion Cornelius and his household to salvation, he did not tell Cornelius to stop being a soldier. When Jesus healed the servant of the Roman centurion, he did not tell that centurion to stop being a soldier. And, you know, when Jesus said, he who lives by the sword will die by the sword, he didn't say it was morally wrong. What he's saying is you pay a price if you do that. It's difficult, and anybody in the military could tell you that. Now, Jesus in Matthew 5, 39 to 40 said, "But I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also." So Jesus is telling him, let him slap you on the cheek. But he does not say, let him rape and kill your wife and kids. Okay? He says, let him take your coat. He does not say, let him take your house and throw you and your kids out in the street to starve. In other words, he's saying, don't sweat the small stuff. And we see in the Bible where Paul resisted getting a whipping from the Romans, and Jesus told us to flee persecution. Those are both forms of resisting evil. In Acts 22:25-26, when the Romans took Paul prisoner and they tied him up and they were going to give him a whipping, he said, "Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that's a Roman and uncondemned?" So when he was able to escape a whipping, he did it. They backed off. They weren't going to do it. And then Jesus in Matthew 10:23, he said, "But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another." So we're supposed to avoid it. On the one hand, he says, blessed are you when men persecute you. On the other hand, he says, when they persecute you, flee. He wants you to live as long as you can. And if you're one of the people who's called to be a martyr, you'll wind up backed in a corner where you have a choice between denying God or being martyred, in which case you get martyred. But you don't volunteer for the job. You stay alive as long as you can. That's what Paul did. You know, if he just laid down, we wouldn't have a fourth of the New Testament. He wrote that from prison because he kept fighting for his life and running. I mean, they led him over the wall in a basket. He did all kinds of creative things to escape dangerous situations. And we should do the same, escape or fight, whatever it takes. And now in Paul's case, he couldn't fight because the Romans were in charge and he was so outnumbered, fighting wouldn't have worked. But in a case where a person can defend themselves, they should. And then here's another
thing. I think it's morally and spiritually required. God has given us the gift of life, has he not?
Yes, he has. And that's part of providing for your family.
That's right.
Isn't providing for your family include providing for them to stay alive?
Yes.
And not be raped and brutalized?
Yes. And to me, Maria, anyone who would stand idly by and watch that happen, in my view, well... You can finish that statement. You know what I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, now, go ahead.
There have been Christians where they said, if you don't deny Jesus and accept Islam, we will kill your child. Well, you cannot do that. Then you pray for your child and you tell them it won't take long, honey. It won't hurt too long. And it breaks your heart. And they kill the kid and then they kill you.
Okay, and I'm glad you brought this. Okay,
in the Middle East.
Yeah. Now that is an entirely different question, and it brings up an entirely different set of circumstances. In no way are we to deny our faith or Jesus Christ. Is
right.
that's what you're saying, right? I mean, because
right.
Okay.
Right. But if those people could escape, they do. And right now, I read an article that there are Christians in the Middle East. They're arming themselves and they're fighting. They're fighting back, including women. They've got a women's brigade.
Well, leave it to the women.
Over 1,000 men plus a women's brigade. So they're getting armed and fighting.
As well they should.
Being mowed down.
Where are we as a country, as a nation? Where's the United Nations? I know the answer to that, but where are we providing aid to the Christians who are being whole slaughtered in wholesale numbers over there?
Well, when they make it over here, we deny them entry. We won't let them come in as refugees.
I,
so we're not only not helping, we're aiding and abetting the persecutors.
Okay, you're saying we're not denying them entry. That's right. Okay, sorry. Yes, we are.
We are denying them entry. We are denying them entry.
We're denying the victims. Right.
But the victims, the Christians, cannot come here.
Right.
The renegade and who's falsely occupying the illegal alien in the White House will not allow them to come here.
That's incredible. I mean, that we are in this position at this time in history where we've got this Muslim backing individual in the White House denying Christians entry into the United States but opening the borders and arms of everyone and allowing Muslims to come in to
the incredible thing is that the people are putting up with it and the church. You know, if you cuss and use a four-letter word, they'll scream to bloody murder. But you let Christians be raped and murdered and stuff overseas, they don't care. Where are they? And listen, where are the women's livers when you need them? Look at how Muslim women are being treated. Look at how the Christian women and little girls even are being raped and boys are being raped to death over there. Where are these people screaming? Where are the homosexuals screaming for rights for little kids that are being raped to death over there? You know, they want to scream about rights. It's all about their rights. It's not about anybody else's rights.
It's about special rights, not about equal rights. It's never been about equal rights. It's about special rights.
It's never been about other people.
Right.
As a matter of fact, why aren't they screaming about that woman, that Muslim woman that got beheaded here? You know?
Well, which one? But yes, I understand your point. Yes,
but there was one that was pretty public a while back.
Yes, and as a matter of fact, that was the wife of the station owner of Bridges TV in Lackawanna, New York, who threatened me, that owner, co-owner actually, threatened me personally and ended up beheading his wife. So yeah, people don't know that. People think that, you know, because I had appeared with Tom Barley on WBEN on numerous occasions, and in fact, well, he threatened both Tom Barley and myself. And I had the FBI visit my house. Tom had the FBI at his house, and pictures were tossed down saying, you ever see this guy? Watch out. He's dangerous. And yeah, 2 years later, he using his wife's head as a soccer ball in the station. Nice guy. Oh, and the FBI said, you know, the FBI said, yeah, if I were you, we'd up your security. You know, you should up your security, but we're not going to help you. That's not their position to help us, but nonetheless, the way they conveyed that sentiment, smacked of sarcasm and such. But people don't understand the behind the scenes stuff on this.
Well, they were glad they weren't in your shoes. But,
I talked to Daniel Pipes about this murder. I was kind of, as much as sad to say this, I was relieved that this guy was actually in custody because the threat, you know.
And actually, with his wife, she must have been living with hell all that time anyway, so... You know, getting murdered put her out of her misery, basically. By the way, I remember hearing years ago someone saying Muslim women are prime targets for God reaching them because they're so miserable, the way they're treated, that they're a lot of them are quite open to the gospel. So pray for salvation for the Muslims, and especially the women, because they're so treated so badly.
Maria, let me ask you this, because you are our resident expert in a number of things here. Pam sent an email here just moments ago about low energy and, you know, aches and pains and such, and we're being slammed by witchcraft during this week especially. Now, Russ Dizdar had done a program that we listened to, in fact, today, right before our show. He said that there were going to be millions of satanic rituals being performed starting tonight, because we are entering into that period toward Beltane, or toward the satanic high holy day of Beltane. What's taking place? I mean, can you kind of give us like a, if you're prepared and if you feel like it, what's going on?
Well, actually, it's between April 19th and May 1st, so it's a 13-day period, just like Halloween is. That's October, 28 to November 3rd or something. It's a 13-day period with Halloween right in the middle. And there are 2 days when they required satanic ritual sacrifices, human sacrifices, when they can do it. But all of those nights are sacrifice nights, and it's usually between midnight and 3 in the morning. They say that midnight's a witching hour and 3 in the morning is the devil's hour. And they count their things like Beltane. They think their rituals have more power if they do it in the dark. So they'll do these things at night when they can. But if they kill someone during the day, that counts too. So if you see somebody get murdered or some movie star drop dead or something, that could be satanic ritual even though it's daytime. Another thing is I've got a friend who's a former Satanist, and I talked to him about 9/11 being a satanic ritual sacrifice.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, well, that was in the daytime. He says, yeah, but the Satanists were doing rituals early that morning. So it counts as being in the nighttime because it began when they began their rituals.
Okay.
Plus, when you look at the flying schedules of the guys, they left their homes to go to the airport at 6 in the morning. Well, that was still dark because I checked when the sunrise was. It was 7:05 at that time. So even the physical preparations for flying into the thing started in the dark. Now,
right.
The guys doing that didn't know that was a factor. But the people orchestrating it behind the scenes did.
And folks, listen to what Maria just said, okay? Because I think this is so important for people to understand. 9/11 being a mass satanic ritual, it's not necessarily what you think, and certainly it's not what you have to believe. But think about what she just said. The people behind the scenes, the handlers of the people perpetrating the attack, are themselves engaged in the satanic sacrificial rite, if you will, controlling this. So it's right, yeah, it's them. I mean, it's their celebration, satanic celebration, right?
And you know, there's an interesting little thing I ran across. One of the flights was 14 minutes late. Well, that's a 7-7, right? There's another 7-7. Ted Brewer told us about all those 7-7s. So, I mean, all these little things they throw in there is not just messages, but they think numerology gives them power.
Interesting. Yeah, it's... looking at all of the aspects of numerology behind 9/11, and even the memorials and the Freedom Tower and the astrological signs and all of this. Yeah, it doesn't matter what we believe, and certainly we're not pagans, we don't celebrate, we're not druids, we don't, but it's what they do, and okay, I get it.
Right.
Wow.
Can I clarify another scripture that there's been some confusion about? It's Exodus 21:17. It says, he that curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. And then Jesus quoted that passage in Matthew 15:3-5. He said, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curses father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or mother, it's a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. So, in the context that Jesus is using it, he's talking about adults. And we, as adults, I mean, when I was 70, I was living with my parents who were, you know, much older than I was. Adults who are capable of taking care of their parents financially, and they refuse to do it because they're going to give the money to the temple instead. Well,
if that
means your parents live in tremendous poverty and die early because of it and can't eat, don't have food, that's a way of certainly... It's not a curse like putting a curse on them, but it certainly makes their life very wretched. So this is not about children who talk back to their parents. First of all, it's not about children. It's mature adults. But second, cursing someone isn't just using, you know, getting mad or using cuss words. It's putting a curse on someone. You can ask the witches and Satanists about that. You can ask Russ Dizdar about that. And there are modern Christians who do it. Some years ago, I read a story about two men in a Christian church in Africa that did not get along, and one of them went to a witch doctor and paid him to put a curse on the other guy. And the witch doctor put a curse on that other man, and the man was dead within a day. Now, that tells me both of these guys were just nominal Christians. You know, no real Christian would do that, pay to put a curse on someone. And if you're a real Christian, the blood of Jesus will protect you from that curse. You might get some hardship, but it wouldn't be devastating. But you could go through some rough stuff. Again, you could ask Russ about that. But, you know, life isn't easy, but God does protect us. And the point is, if modern Christians can do that kind of thing, well, the ancient Israelites could do it too, and there were plenty of Canaanite, I'm sure there were plenty of Canaanite witch doctors around there or their equivalent to go to. So that's the kind of thing that that was talking about. It's not talking about kids sassing their parents.
Interesting. And a very important distinction, folks. I hope, I mean, this is knowledge being conveyed to us here appropriately and in context, in the context in which it was intended, not in the context in which you think it reads. Very good.
We have to use common sense when we read the Bible, and we need to pray. You know, ask God to show us things. And then if we feel called to do things in a particular way, okay, but we shouldn't expect all the other Christians to do it our way. In things that are not essential to salvation, we shouldn't be squabbling. The Bible makes that very clear.
Yeah, I mean, it saddens me to see the divisiveness among Christians who will nitpick and ankle bite and yip and yap about things that are inconsequential to the real salvation issues. Meanwhile, being distracted from the killings of the slaughtering of Christians overseas or in the Middle East and the coming problems
and the slaughter
here.
Of babies here.
That's right, exactly. So,
and
yeah,
what's being done to children in the public schools,
which
is even worse, because what they're doing is killing souls.
There you go. The indoctrination.
The babies go to heaven, but you corrupt the kids, they'll go to hell.
And there you have, and what a great point this is. And we're about 3 minutes to the top of the hour. Callers on hold, please hold. But Maria, I mean, see, this is the kind of meat that no one is getting to me, at least I don't believe that people are getting at church. This is a kind of interpretation, or not interpretation, but this kind of information that people need to hear so they understand and it's sure-footed. So that's right, the indoctrination of our children, they are taking the souls, and that is really the capturing of our souls in the indoctrination in the government schools is really what this is all about, isn't it? The bigger picture.
Right, and that's what the transgender bathrooms and everything else is, too. You harden them, traumatize them, shake them up. On the one hand, you don't even correct their grammar because the poor little things would wilt if you corrected them. And on the other hand, the police will come in and brutalize them and treat them like an adult criminal for acting like a kid at 6 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's just totally unpredictable, incomprehensible, and often the good students and the good kids are the ones they pick on the most.
Right.
I remember one girl, she had, somebody had a My Doll for, you know, you get cramps when you get your period, and that was illegal in the school, and where'd you get it from? She pointed to some Christian girl who did not give it to her, had nothing to, they strip searched that girl. Little kid, and they strip searched her in the school. And finally they found this other gal had a pocket full of the things. She's the one who had them, and they were in her own pocket. Why didn't they search her first? But you don't strip search a girl to find something like, it's not like cocaine. She's not going to stick it up her cavities.
Right.
You know, what did they do to that child? And then when the parents complained to the principal, there's no problem there because they didn't find any drugs. So no problem with the way they treated that girl. That is sexual abuse.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Maria, we gotta go. But I just want to say thank you. You've given us a lot of information.
God bless you guys, and thank you so much for all you're doing.
Oh, thank
Bye-bye.
You, and you're a treasure. That's Maria Grace, author of Prepare for Persecution. Folks, if you don't have Prepare for Persecution, go on Amazon and grab a copy. I mean, my goodness, what a great gift. As we close out this hour, folks, I want to just direct everyone to AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, the Under Attack Pack. How's that?
Spiritual and physical preparation.
That's right. First, we must be spiritually prepared from attacks of the enemy. So, here's the deal. You're going to receive a free, full-size King James Bible. Then we must prepare physically. So, you're going to receive 100 servings of ready-to-eat 20-year storable food by the Ready Project. Plus, as a bonus, you'll get a six-function survival tool with a lanyard. It's a flashlight, compass, thermometer, magnifier, mirror, and super loud whistle, all for $99. Go to AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. We'll be right back.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.